Well, we kind of have a special treat for you this morning. We're going to do things a little bit differently. In the sermon series, Just As I Am, we've been looking at different aspects of our life. And one of the things that I truly believe is that when we come to meet Jesus for the first time in a real way, that he introduces us to not only just his grace and his love and his mercy, but introduces us to a different way of thinking about our lives and how we interact with each other, with God, and with the world. He gives us a purpose. And on the macro level, our purpose as followers of Jesus is to become like Jesus, the purpose of our lives. But there's also a purpose that he gives us in our lives as we become like Jesus. And one of the things that I think is saddest, that is somewhat common in our area, is when people don't really have a purpose that is larger than themselves. Because then we kind of get to the point where our entire purpose in our lives is just to take care of ourselves and keep ourselves happy and make sure that we have what we want. And we miss out so much on so much in life when we don't get involved with the larger purpose that God has for us. And in this series, Just As I Am, one of the quotes that really controls my thinking in this, I shared with you last week, and I want to share it again. Evil, the world, and our own brokenness constantly claw at our identity, all pulling us to create a foundation of self-image on everything but God. These schemes and patterns are nothing new. When in doubt, we can trust who God says we are. And so today we're going to talk about how we are created for a purpose. And we're going to use as a jump-off point Genesis chapter 2, which is the second creation account, where God is talking more about his plan and purpose for humanity in general. And it says this: "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.' The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" So initially, we were given the purpose of tending God's garden, of making things grow, of being a part of the creation, and investing in relationships, developing families, developing communities. And now, as post-resurrection people, in response to what Jesus has done for us on the cross and the resurrection, we participate in God's recreation. I mean, Revelation ends in a garden again. And so part of the purpose that God has for us is renewing creation as a part of his plan, all of creation, including all of the people. So we follow God and we recreate, and we also continue to develop community, but this time it's community within the kingdom of God and establishing the rule and the reign of God with the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our families, in our neighborhoods, and around the world. Paul Tournier, the great Swiss psychiatrist, said, "If we do not create, we will grow tired resting. If we do not work, we will grow tired playing. If we do not love, we will grow tired living." And so one of the things that we want to do is make sure that we are not growing tired of resting and playing and living. But as the followers of Jesus, we are trying to discern what his plan and purpose is for us as we become more like him. And so the real win for this morning is that we want to inspire you to seriously wrestle with what God's purpose is for you at this stage of your life, and to give you some practical ideas about how to discover God's purpose for your life. So we're going to have a panel discussion, and I have brought some experts on living life to be with us this morning. So we've got Phil Willenbrock and Ty Robach and Alana Dunnigan and Rhonda Douglas, and they are going to kick around some questions with us and with you today. So the first question that I want to ask is, at this stage of your life, what do you think is the purpose God has for you?
I'll start again, Michael. Thank you. First of all, thank you. My name's Phil. Me and my family have been in this church for about 23 years, And we are not experts. I'm not an expert at all. I was asked to do this, and I think this is one of the ways that I can be purposeful to the point of our question. I was asked to do something this morning, and I said, okay, Michael, I'll join in, and hopefully we can have some fun up here. But I think what I try to do is live my life. So I'm in education. I've had a variety of different jobs. I've been in the same role now for the last 8 years up in a district near Seattle. But what I try to do every day is just kind of live my life in a way that might create others to pause and say, gosh, you know, Phil does things a little bit differently. Phil doesn't do this and others do that. Why is that salmon swimming upstream? I want to learn more about how he is able to be positive, maybe, in a time where many aren't. How is he able to kind of not gossip when it's easy to gossip in an office space? So I want to be that person. I think that's one of my purposes. And I also think a purpose now, I'm a kind of an empty nester. My kids are, I don't know how old they are, but they're out of the house. they're out of the house and all between 25 and 30, I think, is where they're at. So my role now is less of kind of the hustle bustle of the weekend. And sometimes the weekend is just like the week. And I'm like, how do you all do this? But it's more of an advisor role and maybe a mentor role for those who reach out to me. I have kind of time to do that, whether it's up in Seattle where we connect for coffee or something like that. I think I have that role to be a mentor and an advisor to other young adults. And last thing I will share is I want to thank so many of you. I look out here and so many of you have been a part of our children's lives. And that's one of the great things about Harbor Covenant is how we feed into our youth. And if I can, you know, if I can urge you on as well to say you always have an opportunity to pull a teenager aside, pull a young adult aside, and really live into their life, because you, some of you did that to my kids, and I want to make sure that I do that as well. So thank you. So that's a little bit on the purpose I feel right now.
Well, I probably represent the newest on the panel here. I just arrived in July. I can't thank you for raising up all of my children, but I do have a family here in this church, and I'm forever grateful. But I left a beautiful community of believers behind in Merced, and I found myself, I've recently retired, and so I'm just getting kind of used to this. It's a new thing for me. And as I've tried to lean into this new normal, a word that has come to my mind over and over again in recent is available, that now in this season of my life, because I've retired to being a full-time grandmother and some other aspects of my life, that I have more time to invest, not only in my family, and I was sharing earlier that I really don't feel like my purpose has changed as the season of my life has changed, because I know I was placed on this earth to be loved by God, and that love that I experienced then flows out of me in love to others. But pouring into family, pouring into church family, the community, it's a wonderful blessing to be in this season. And so as I think about what looks like, you know, we're called to love our neighbor. My neighbors have changed, and the landscape of my life has changed drastically in 3 years, but it's always a pleasure to serve the Lord, serving our neighbors.
I think for me, it does feel like there has been a change of purpose. So it feels like my job used to be, my purpose used to be to like build the pyramids, because I worked and I could accomplish things. And now my purpose is like I'm the guy that sweeps the sand out of the desert and it's always blowing back, because now I'm raising kids and cleaning up after them. And so I think I'm in a season of life, it's like just as I am right now. I'm in a season of life where purpose is very hands-on. It's very tactical. It's very like, what do I do in this moment that can reflect love, even when I feel much more frustrated than loving? And I also just so much echo with that word, available. I think as my husband and I have talked about this, we just feel like we have so much more bandwidth as a family to meet the needs that we see in the lives of the people around us and in our community in ways that we just didn't when we were both kind of flat out red zoned with work.
I would say for me, I've always been in education. Even as a little kid, I was helping friends ride bikes and stuff. And I get the gift of hanging out with 500 middle schoolers every day. Yeah. And it truly is a gift. I think that God's been prepping me for that forever. The things to do, understanding that kids might not want to talk to you, and you know, but then they do want to talk to you. And so I think in this season too, having kids that are constantly busy, it does feel a little bit like Groundhog's Day, in that, you know, you go to work and you're going, and then you come home and you got to figure out dinner, and then you got to get your kids to practices, and then someone's got to pick them up from practice. And then you clean up, and you know, and then you start over again. And so how to be intentional during that time, how to invest in family with our three kids and my wife, and but also that work-life balance of just you know, giving all your energy you can to kids who really need it. So I think that would be my face.
So some of you would say that your purpose hasn't necessarily changed over life in the stage you are in. And maybe it has changed at this particular stage because, you know, like Alana, you're dramatically different than you were when you were just working. But whether it's this new stage in life or whether it was at the beginning, how did you find God's purpose for you? And I'm going to pick on you again first, Rhonda, like I did in the first service, just because you've had such a big change in your life. I mean, everything has started over for you again. And you do have family here, so you've got that. But, you know, you're meeting new neighbors. You're trying to find a place to serve. How did you find God's purpose in that?
Yeah, I before I retired in 2022, I lost my husband in 2021. So that rocks your world and gets your attention, right? And so I thought when I went back to work, I would just, like, work for a long time because people said, you need to work. This will be good for you. And so I'm a good student, and so I went to work. And 2 months in, I'm like, no, I need to be done. And I just felt God saying, you need to be done. I have other things for you. I entered into a period of discernment for a long time. I looked back just to make sure, but 7 months of just prayer, discernment, sitting my butt in a chair and listening to what God would have me do. Two things I did personally, as I was like, how, because like you, you know, your work, your whole identity is surrounded by what you do and who you are, and then all that is stripped away, like everything, my job, my husband, everything. And so two things. One, I had to quit denying the strong desire that God had placed in my heart. I was like suppressing. I hear, and I'm like, oh, no, I couldn't do that, you know. And that was clearly like to sell my home and to trust and to move. And it's just overwhelming. And the second thing, once I stopped denying that and listening to that and listening to my body, the second thing was I keep a guided journal that I do every Sunday. And I write down like what's life-giving and what's life-draining. And there began to be a pattern. And as I scanned back over that, at different seasons, every couple months, I saw this little pattern bubble to the top. And everything that was life-giving was surrounded about the move and the new beginning and God, trusting God and being with family that I hadn't been with in so many years. And I just felt a very strong sense. And once I made that decision, God opened the floodgates. And I'm just so glad that I found this place. I really am.
I think for a lot of us, there's like a main thing in your life. And it can be easy to figure out what the purpose is in your main thing. And then I think there's other tasks as assigned. And I think for me, that's where the role of prayer is really helpful. Understanding, should we be jumping into this situation? Should we be interfering? Should we be reaching out? Where are we really called to be in a proactive way? And I think partly though, there's a baseline to that, which is, you have to be in relationship with people. I think there's so much purpose in relationship, in letting yourself be known, and in knowing other people. You can't know what you don't know, and you can't do what you don't know needs to be done. And so I think carving out the space and the kind of like spiritual and emotional energy to let yourself be under the hood with people is, I think, really important.
Yeah, I would add, I appreciate that, because I think for me it is definitely about finding opportunities to pray. And then in those moments when life becomes difficult and challenging, recognizing those doors that God opened. And so when my wife and I are praying for a position or our family, and when it becomes challenging, recognizing that God opened that door for a reason, there's a reason why in a certain place or we're having a certain situation occurring. And I would add, and I thank Phil for being those people that, because I'm in that place now, I think, where I'm reaching out to others around me for guidance, for community, you know, and I think that's important to make those connections, just so that you can have guidance. You can ask those questions like, why is God calling it this way? And you're reading the Bible and it doesn't make sense. And it's, you know, King James version, and I don't understand all the verbiage. So then you're asking somebody for that. So there you go.
So I think for me, so how do we figure out what God's purpose is in our life? Alana, thank you for that, because we really do need to have people in our lives in order to figure that out. Because I think for me, it was listening to people who were in my kind of personal board of directors. And whether that's when I was growing up, both of my parents were educators, so I've been in coaching and education for 40 years. So it's kind of what you know. But you listen to people and ask, hey, do you think I'm good at this? Am I in flow here? Does it seem like I'm confident? Do I have a big picture perspective with what I'm doing? And ask people that. And sometimes, you know, I have to remind myself to pull a young coach aside or a young teacher aside or a young student aside and say, hey, you know what? You're doing a good job here. You need to continue to pursue this. And if we aren't in relationship with people, we are hesitant to say that, and we're also hesitant to receive that. So I think for me, it was just a matter of, you know, it's like you fail as soon as you can, so you learn as quickly as possible, right? So we try things, and if that comes to failure, or we get the sense that, oh gosh, you know, I'm just not in my flow here, this isn't where I belong, then we try something else. Then you try something else. Then you try something else. And it's never too late. I thought when I was 45, I was done with my schooling. Well, turns out I had to go back for a while. And so it's never, while the kids were kind of growing up, I mean, so it's never too late to go back and do that. Just because you didn't choose to take class XYZ when you were a sophomore in high school doesn't mean that you're down a path, you know, for the rest of your life. You can always listen to people, back off. What am I good at? Where do I feel like I'm making the most positive influence? So I think it's just listening to people and then just trying things, and it's okay to fail. If you don't fail, you know, you're not learning. I worry, I'm in athletics. I mean, I worry that like all of our kids are gonna have this same question in 15 years. So like, what are you building to allow them to answer the question however you would like them to answer that question? Like, what's their purpose? And so that's what I try to live into every day with my environment at work. And so I'm trying to continually bring that to the forefront.
I think Ty said something that I just feel needs to be said, and kind of ties with what you just said, but I think God uses our pain and our problems, right, to work out our purpose too. And I think, you know, as we don't want to have those challenges, we don't want to have those hard times, but it is really the hard times that is redeeming and refining and gives you clarity. And then you hopefully can give back. I was a single mom. I didn't plan that. I was a young widow. I didn't plan that. I had beautiful stepchildren, and one of my daughters had a baby when she was 16 years old. And I was like, why of all this? You know, and as I look back, I know there's a lot of, I can say this now, because I had two friends in this first service, and I couldn't say this then. I have family in the audience, but anyway, I don't want people to feel like, oh, poor Rhonda. No, I wouldn't change one thing, because God has just used that to you know, give me more reason to love him and his faithfulness.
Mm. Are you just stretching, or do you have something to say?
I've always got something else to say.
Okay, so go ahead,
go.
Phil.
Good, lighten that up, lighten that up.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess this is kind of what I do. But anyway, we are in a culture, too, where leisure and reflection is Nobody knows what that is. I have a hard time knowing what that is. So we can't find out. For me, I couldn't find out. And I don't know what's going on next year. I have some other things that maybe I'll be doing. But unless you take the time to get away and have solitude, you can't figure that out. So I guess one of my urges would be to continue to do that. I try to go away as much as possible. And the further you get along in a relationship, I'm married to a beautiful my beautiful wife, going on, I think we just, 30 years, so that was good. But you get to that point where you're like, hey, he needs a week there, she needs a week here, 2 weeks, just to where you have that time for solitude. Because if you don't have solitude, it's difficult for me, if I don't have solitude, to hear God's voice and to really pray wherever I am. But in that time of solitude, I think it's really important.
And I think that there's an important distinction there, because lots of us get away, but we get away to more noise. Mm-hmm. And if you want to hear the voice of God, you've got to find an opportunity to get away to be quiet. And it doesn't have to be an entire weekend. It can be an hour. Sometimes just a walk, but it has to be that intentional. I'm getting away, not just more entertainment, but I'm getting away to listen. I just want to do just a little impromptu survey. How many dads in the audience know how old your children are? Right this very second. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you, without having to think about it, know how long you've been married? How many of you just lied? Okay, so it's not just you, Phil. Oh, I knew Sajan didn't know.
It's part of my life stage.
Yeah, late middle age is real. I want to put Mr. Roebuck on the on the hot seat. Thank you. I want to do something to you. We're friends, so I can do this to him. But so everybody who has ever had a kid at your schools knows that you really care about your kids. You care about your staff. You care about all those types of things. But I also know that you have difficult days, that you might have parents that don't see eye to eye with decisions that you have made. And,
that never
happens. Whose children are more special than anyone else's. But so, since your school is your mission field and you feel called by God there, when you're in those really difficult situations, how do you keep your purpose in front of you instead of just, doing stuff that wouldn't be helpful?
Oh, that's a good question. Honestly, I just go back out into the school. So my office is in the front, and that's where a lot of the action happens when it's conflict and so forth. And then I just leave that space and I go where the kids are, because that's where I get time to invest in students. And that's really what my calling is. It's not fixing the facility. It's not dealing with the track that's flooded. It's not dealing with parents who maybe don't see eye to eye on the same things that I do. But spending time with students in the commons, in the classrooms, and it's hard. There's times when I just have to take a step back and say, I don't have it all together. And that's okay. And I think, I think we all have that idea, like that front stage, and behind the stage, and so being with students is that front stage. And there's times it's okay for me to let down, and just figure things out with everybody. But there's definitely hard days. It seems like it gets harder because when you care about a kid and you want them to do well and you understand that they're living in crisis and maybe there's things that you can't do. Even though it's a mission field, it's also, a job. And so that you have to be very mindful about that. And so trying to figure out those boundaries can be difficult. But that's sometimes when I text people like Michael and say, whew, had a rough day, and just allowing that time to go back and spend time with family and try to reconnect. So
what you're saying reminds me, as I have been sort of thinking about, like, what is purpose? And I feel like it's the jobs that we're called to that are so important, we know we're inadequate to them, that they sort of desperately need to be done more perfectly than we can do them. And I think you find that at work, you find that in relationships, you certainly find it in parenting, but it's like when we have that desire for God to come down and do this work, and instead there's just us there doing our best, and it brings you, kind of helps you recognize your own inadequacy and brokenness, and need for a Savior, then I feel like you know you're doing it right.
I would just jump in too, for the season that I represent, this newly retired, boots on the ground, you know, we got a lot of good years ahead, that we would like surround these people that are raising kids and, you know, like come alongside them and support them in any way we could, because, you know, I feel like I have the time now that I didn't have, I desperately would have loved to have been when I was a parent. So I think that's an exciting time.
Very much so. Okay, just very quickly, because you all are represent different life stages, people in the congregation, what do you think are some of the pressures or challenges that keep people in your life stage from really following through on the purpose that God has for them?
We did this last time.
No, go ahead, Phil. I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Thank you, Ty. I will. I'll go first this time. I think so. You know, I realize I've got my horizon now is a lot shorter than it was 20 years ago when I was raising my kids. And, you know, I'm kind of on that other side of 55 and looking at, you know, kind of financial concerns. Hey, I've got 10 more years to work or perhaps more, which is great. I love my work. But, you know, we don't want to have to go if we don't want to. So you worry about that, and I there are a lot of voices in my head still about decisions I made. What was that 4th-and-1 call that I should have made when I was coaching against BLU? Why did I do that? Whatever it was. Like, these things are real, though, and multiply that times a lot, because we deal with parents all the time. We deal with kids all the time, and what you say stays with us. And so you always, did I manage that situation right? Did I do the right thing there? Did I make the right decision with my child there, or this or that or the other thing, or career path? Here I am now. Would I have been somewhere different had I made a... So it's really a lack of confidence. I think sometimes those voices get in our way of saying, I just want to be free to listen to God's plan for my next, you know, my next phase. For me, it's a constant reminder. It's quit looking behind and, you know, look forward at what's up next. So I think for my life stage, for me, it's too much negative thought about what didn't happen.
And I think it's appropriate for me to chime in after he said that, and not to discount that by any means, because I think that's right on. But also, when you get to that stage and you have had these dreams of these things that you thought it was going to look like, when it doesn't and it shatters, it doesn't mean that it's over and that God won't, you know, redeem that. But I think for me, in my stage, I'm feeling like perhaps there's a little bit of that selfishness that wants to rise up a little bit, like, oh, but now I'm at a point where I can afford to do this and I can do that. And yet maybe there are other things that God has for you. So maybe you have to give up some things, buying the bigger house or going on the big trip or, you know, Starbucks or whatever it would be to build God's kingdom.
I would say and people will say, like, because, you know, we have 3 kids running around, and they're, oh man, you're gonna miss these days when they're gone. And sometimes I don't miss these days, like, and I'm like, yeah, thanks, I guess. And that idea that, you know, the seasons are short, and they truly are, but the days can be really long, like really long. And just finding intentionality within those days to be grateful for what we have, and making those connections, building relationship no matter where it's at. But I think that can sometimes impact us. It's just the endurance factor, you know, and just understanding that there is kind of that Groundhog's Day, but it's okay, you know, because God has put like blessings within those days, even in those really, really long days.
I think there can be like a real sense of futility and like, does it matter in everything we do? So like I, several times a year, go and make a meal at the Tacoma Rescue Mission. And what does that accomplish? Like, what lives does it change? What is it? But it's like, it matters to me that I'm doing it. And I think you can feel that futility at work, you know, when you've built the team and then you're reorged and everyone's fired, you know, like, and I think you can certainly feel that in parenting and just the grind of daily life, where it's like you can't see the big picture of what it's all adding up to. I think that's the hardest thing to push through and keep going when you can't immediately see the fruit.
Well, we could talk about so much more, but I really appreciate you all sharing. So let's thank them for joining us this morning. And now, as is our custom, I have three questions for you. Number one, how do you discern God's purpose for your life? Number two, what purpose do you think God is calling you to right now? And number three, what is one concrete action that you can commit to this week to pursue God's purpose for you? Let's take a minute, let's pray about that, and then I'll close us in prayer.